Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are excited to be here today, broadcasting from, well, cloudy Las Vegas. That's not a thing. Typically, Vegas is pretty sunny, but we're out here on a super secret mission, doing some stuff to try and keep America free and to keep bad guys at bay, which is, you know, 7 full-time jobs. And yeah, while we're out here, we decided to get this show in and also to plug the Mirage, apparently. But, you know, the shot is what it is. And joining us, because we are broadcasting from the road, you see, producer Andrea is actually with Shortstack herself. They are spending quality time broadcasting together from another location. And I am spending quality time broadcasting from my hotel room. And joining us all is our friend RT from His Glory. And this is really a big deal for us. We're excited to have RT here. RT, I think you're fairly new to the His Glory team, right?
I am fairly new to His Glory. I'm about 6 months in.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I love it.
Well, you know, Dave Scarlett and I have become real good friends over the years. You know, I met Dave through the Reawaken tour, and we hit it off, right? He's a good man, and he's an interesting character because Dave, you know, he founds His Glory, and instead of doing what most pastors, priests, preachers are doing, Dave actually decided that, you know, they ought to have some lion rather than just being lambs. And so Dave, you know, that's what he built, right? He built His Glory to be lions, not lambs. And they actually stand for things. And they've become some of my very best friends. And so RT joins the battle over there. And RT, you are a pastor from Chicago, right?
I am a pastor from Chicago, man. I've been in the pastor fight for over 12 years. And pastoring in Chicagoland is like
that's special.
I mean, yeah, it's got to be a call from the Lord. And so yeah. I've been doing that. I've been doing it with my high school sweetheart. We've been together for 23 years this year. I've known her for 27. So love it. We got 6 kids. So they're in the fight too. They love the Lord and they're warriors for the King. So we're all in this here in the Chicagoland area. And I jumped on board with His Glory because, I mean, we're doing warriors here. And Pastor Dave and his team are like, hey, we want to do warriors everywhere in our country. We want a warrior nation, really, and that's where we want to build. And so I'm like, listen, I'm all in on that. What do you got? He's like, listen, can you just build this whole thing out? I'm like, okay, sounds good. Let's do that.
There you go.
So we started 6 months ago. Yep.
There you go. Well, and so for anybody that doesn't know, His Glory Church actually has the His Glory Warrior Program. And the Warrior Program are Christians united to fight for Christian causes, right? And it's not a literal fight in the sense that we're you know, arming ourselves and going to the streets with guns. It's a fight. It's a spiritual fight. It's a political fight. It's a legal fight. It's all the proper ethical things that we can do under the law to advocate for a faith-filled, good country. And I admire the hell out of this because one of the things I've talked about, and this is really foundational, Dave and I have talked about this, is, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm unapologetic for sure in my faith. I'm a failed Christian. You know, I'm an evil sinner of a guy. I'm a lawyer. You know, so kind of sad. I'm lucky if I've got a soul. But
oh, Jesus loves you, Tom. Jesus loves you.
Well, you know, he must love me a lot because if he's forgiven me, you know, you got something. But that's the thing, right? So I've talked with Dave a lot about the fact that, you know, everybody, they, especially the leftists, they love to take the Bible and twist it and take one passage out of context. And so we hear, when we talk about Christians, there's this nonstop drumbeat of turn another cheek. Forgive, 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 you know, whatever it is, just, and it doesn't matter what's happening. We're supposed to accept it and tolerate it. And that is not what Christ taught. He didn't teach tolerance in the sense that he said, oh, it's okay. It's good that you're doing that. You be you. No, he said, go forth and sin no more. When he saved the woman, the prostitute who's going to be stoned, he didn't say, hey, get back out there. Have a good night. I hope you have some tricks. He said, hey, I ain't going to stone you, but quit it. Cut the crap, right?
Yeah.
So the other thing that Jesus did that was really interesting is he said, turn the other cheek and forgive your enemies. But he was quite clear about what would happen if you sinned against children, if you sinned mm-hmm. against the innocent. He was not at all a fan of that. And he didn't say we should, you know, turn the other cheek and high-five someone who's a pedophile. He didn't say we should forgive sins for people who are committing them actively against the innocent or the weak. He wanted us to be, that's when we become lambs. That's the passage where he says, at some point you'll need the sword. That's where that comes into play. And I think that's where we are.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, as I was just listening to you for a second, the Lord was just like, just tell them. What has happened to the church in America, what's happened to the Christians in America, is that this whole like haze has come over the spiritual eyes of the Christians that tolerance is necessary, but it's bred this idea of niceness, right? Yeah. And it's this like religion of niceness. Christian niceness is actually just another way of saying coward, right? Yeah. And if you understand, like Jesus didn't die, be buried, rise again so that he can fill and fuel people to be cowards. Like those are the first group of people that have their entrance into the lake of fire. You know who they are? Cowards.
Yeah.
Just the cowardly. And so I just think, you know, if we're going to be warriors, if we're going to be born again, spirit-filled, Jesus-dependent people, we are to labor in being warriors, not cowards. And so that's really the whole point.
It's pretty clear how he felt about lukewarm, right? And lukewarm lukewarm is exactly where you are when you don't have the courage to stand for something, right? When if I know that they're promoting pedophilia in a school, if I know that they're putting these porn books and perversion things in an elementary school library, and I don't do something to protect my kids, I'm a coward.
That's a
piece of crap. And the fact that so many people just, oh, there's nothing I can do. Oh, there's nothing. Bull crap. Right. I don't care what you do, but you need to do something. I don't care if you're writing letters every day. I don't care if you're emailing. I don't care if you're posting things online. You need to do something. And the idea, the very idea that Christ said it's okay to be a cowardly, wishy-washy piece of crap is somehow okay, it's appalling.
Well, I just think you got to ask yourself this question. Sorry about that. You got to ask yourself this question. What led people to be so lukewarm in the first place? You know, and when you understand, you know why they were led to be lukewarm? Because they thought blending in with the world would actually lead them to a better, quote, Christian life, a safer life. But what it ended up doing was decaying and rotting their soul to then lack influence. They then seceded to the culture, the buttress of truth, rather than being the influence to the culture to see it transformed by the truth. And that has been the decay of the church in America. And that's at his glory. Listen, as you've seen and you know, like we are unapologetic about teaching and preaching the truth verse by verse. We're going to not just teach it, but we're going to walk it out. And we're going to live it out. And I think that's the piece where it's like, hey, the whole point is, it is about engaging your culture with the truth and the things that God says is true and go do something about it. So step into this. So it steps all the way back to, before you step into a school, make sure you're ordering your own home, right? Make sure if you're a dad or a mom, make sure, are you engaging your child? A warrior starts in his own house before he goes out into his community. And so I think that's where it starts. And then we move and just replicate that in our communities. And that's really what we're trying to do in inspiring groups all over the country and every county to become warriors for Christ.
And make no mistake, everybody, the call to action here is to get involved with the His Glory or Warrior program, right? Support His Glory, right. Support the Warrior program, get involved, look it up, check into it, see what it is, and help us get the word out on it, because it's a big deal, right? It's a very big deal. And, you know, at the end of the day, that is something that we need to, we've got to push that a lot. I mean, this program has to grow. We have to have programs like this that are out there to engage people in actually taking back the faith. So, RT, I'm Catholic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, God bless you. Jesus still loves you.
Yeah, I think so. I think but here's the deal, right? So let me talk about my faith, and let me talk about this in terms of what we're saying, right? So yeah. I'm Catholic. My Pope's an absolute piece of trash. I just as soon crap on him as look at him. And he is the antithesis of what I would expect in a Pope. The church itself is broken, right? We have pedophile priests, and we're using our money that's tithed to the church, tithed to serve God, to pay lawyers to defend pedophiles, known pedophiles, people who've admitted they're pedophiles. Everybody deserves a day in court, right? Everybody deserves a day in court. But I'm going to tell you something. If a priest admits to being a pedophile and that church takes one penny of my money and gives it to their defense, I'm done. So I don't tithe. I give nothing to the Catholic Church, and I want to encourage any other Catholics out there to give them less. I will give them money again when they quit defending pedophiles, maybe. They're also going to have to quit pushing global warming. But this is what we're talking about, right? Now, I hold on to my faith, and the reason I hold on to my faith is because I have never found a church that doesn't have flaws. So I like this one because, the concept is that we originated from Peter and Paul, and we're nowhere near what Peter and Paul were. I mean, we're defending pedophiles. Peter and Paul were getting crucified upside down because, you know, they didn't figure they could die like Christ. You've got a world of change from where we started, but I do appreciate the origin story. So I stick with it because it's as good as any. And I do like some of the wisdom that's come from the Catholic Church over the centuries. There is some wisdom. The church itself doesn't follow it, but if you read, it's there. So that's me. But here's the thing. How many of us go to church every weekend and that's it, right? That's good. We just went. Of course, when you leave, you can't remember what the priest, preacher, pastor said because you weren't really paying attention. It didn't resonate with you because it's meaningless. And then you go home and you continue to do nothing and allow your kids to go to school where you got porn in the library. That one really bothers me. The porn in the libraries for kids is just sick. Yeah. And then you've got all these other things going on, but we don't do anything with it, right? We don't fight. We don't oppose. We just keep our heads down and we go along to get along because, you know, we wouldn't want to disrupt anything because a good Christian turns the other cheek, which is all horseshit. I don't know what else. What, turn the other cheek? Yeah, like Jesus did when he braided a whip and went in and started flipping tables. Yeah, he was a pacifist, all right. I mean, he stood, when you defiled his father's house, he was pissed.
Yep.
He was pissed. And again, I'm a rotten, lousy Christian, I'm a lawyer, but I can't even talk about Jesus without swearing. But at the end of the day, that's what he's there to forgive me for, right? I don't have to be perfect, but I'll tell you what, I may not be perfect, but I'll go to battle for what I believe.
Sure. And I think here's the thing, Tom. I think the reason we're in the predicament we're in is because people don't understand the truth. You can't be a warrior for the truth if you don't get the truth, right? So to your point, you've said it a couple times already on this broadcast.
Yeah.
Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Well, that's a true statement that Jesus said, but you can't take that out of context. I mean, Jesus turned the other cheek in context with relating to one another in the faith.
Yeah.
If your brother sins against you, the heart should be a disposition and a posture to forgive. But listen, in the church family that he's talking to, you, God's people, should be forgiving people because you've been forgiven an infinite debt you could not pay. That is what he's saying. Now listen, he went in and flipped tables. Was Jesus not forgiving and turning the other cheek? No, he was turning the tables over. You want to know why he was turning the tables over? Because he was the point of the truth that they were missing. And that's the whole point that we're missing in the world today. The church is completely, it ain't got no balls. Excuse me. Can I say that on the show? I don't know.
Okay.
Either way. Okay.
You did. You just moved up three steps.
We just did.
I want to go to your church now.
Well, anyways, I mean, like, the church ain't got no balls. Why? Because we don't understand the truth of the good news that Jesus is, and then we can't then go stand for the things Jesus stands for because we don't believe he is who he says he is. And that is half the problem. That's all the problem. So nobody's engaged. Why aren't they engaged? Well, because Jesus was just a pacifist. He was just forgive and let live. No, he wasn't. Listen, Jesus engaged. He was the warrior of warriors for our example.
Activist.
That's
it. Ultimate activist. He fought to the death, not only to the death, but to the miserable death. I mean, the guy was tortured to death and essentially, you know, just kind of gave out from being tortured to death. I mean, when people talk about his death, you've got to understand, Christ believed in what he was doing so much that he literally let people torture him. We talked, you know, we remember when after 9/11, we were torturing terrorists by pouring water on them, the waterboarding thing. Mm-hmm. This guy got whipped. Yep. He literally had the skin ripped from his body. When they talk about the crown of thorns, you got to understand, they didn't just take some thorns and set them on his head gently. They jammed that stuff into his skull.
That's right.
They were beating him. They drove nails through his hands and feet and let him lay there in freaking agony until he was dying. Yeah. And then they jabbed him with a spear just to make sure he's dead. I mean, it was the worst thing you could possibly have happened.
Yep.
But we're supposed to believe he was a pacifist.
Yep.
We're supposed to believe that the guy who went through that was a pacifist. The guy who flipped tables just because he forgave sins, which was his point, didn't mean he condoned actions. And he was quite clear. It's better for a millstone to be around your neck and thrown out in the ocean than to take one of these little ones and get them to sin. We were supposed to defend the kids. We're supposed to defend the innocent. We're supposed to give them the opportunity. Because guess what? When these pervert priests that are molesting kids do their thing, guess what happens? It's not just that they sinned. They ruined that kid. They led that kid to have demons and issues that kid's going to have to face for the rest of their life. When we put porn in these schools, a kindergartner is not capable of, what are they going to do with that? They shouldn't be exposed to that. When we talk about, you know, pushing this trans stuff on elementary, junior high, even high school kids, they're not equipped to deal with that. And what do we do? We're sinning against the children in a way that is profound, because you don't come back from that. Once you've had your wiener cut off, you don't come back from that. You're going to have lifelong problems on a profound level. You're never going to be sane again. You're never going to be whole again. You can do a lot. You can come back. You can give yourself to Christ, but you're never going to go back to be. So we're standing aside. We're facilitating. We are complicit.
Complicit, yeah.
We are complicit in allowing these kids to go to be sinned against, because we won't do a damn thing because we're too worried about upsetting. Well, we might upset someone. We might hurt their feelings. I don't give a damn about your feelings if you're screwing with a kid. I don't give a damn whether you like what I have to say. You're screwing up a kid. And I'm quite sure that in my faith, if there was one thing I was supposed to stand for, it was the innocent, especially children.
That's it. 100%. 100%.
Well, and Tom, I mean, what you're talking about, the perversion in our schools, it's like they took God out of our schools in the early 60s. But now when you talk about the trans movement, I say this all the time, when you tell they weren't made right, then, you know, you've destroyed God. There's no God. Not only did they take God out of the schools, but now further, where they're now convincing these kids that not only is there no God, but they're in his image. They weren't made properly, so they need to. I mean, it's disgusting.
And that logical issues down the road as well. You know, it's not just one simple hit at the moment. This is psychological damage.
Exactly.
Psychological to these children. And to go back to a couple points that you guys, one, if you are a true Christian, you understand against wickedness is a sacred
amen
given to you by God. You have a go after and go against this wickedness. And to go back to what I think drives malicious twisting of the word of God to use it
yes
against you, it's strategically that text to turn the other cheek does not mean what a lot of people think it means. You know, I thought it actually meant until I actually studied the word and looked into the context and the surroundings, because it's not just, hey, if someone strikes you across the face, you just take a corner. That's not at all what it means. And it means,
right,
at least from my studying and my understanding, to stand there and turn the other cheek means that you are standing firm on your faith, showing the person that struck you, I'm still standing, happens, because I will still be standing here. And to me, that's mm-hmm. what that means. To me, it's standing firm and accepting the other giving the other cheek, because it also goes hand in hand with you. You need to show them, whether you're my enemy or not, you need to understand why this is more important. And actually having that conversation, because yep. when you sit down and you speak to that enemy, they could actually turn around, just like Paul. Paul changed the nation
yes.
when he was the first hour. And if we don't speak to our enemy, how can we actually battle mm-hmm. in this spiritual war that we are in?
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's everything.
That's it. And because we don't get the truth at the root level. We just don't get it. So like, no, there's no standing on the truth, because people are starting on feelings. Truth is subjective instead of objective, right? So they don't do the homework like you've done, thank the Lord, right? They just don't do it. And so then you have like, well, it's turn the other cheek, so I'm like a coward, or I'm this, I'm that. No, we can't stand and take it because people don't actually believe it. This is why. If we can actually get back to the church, his glory, the church at large across the country can get back to actually believing the truth about the good news of Jesus Christ, then we could actually start seeing greater transformation and advancement of exposing wickedness by bringing the light of the good news of Jesus. What do I mean by that? I mean, the gospel doesn't start at the cross. The gospel starts at creation. The good news that God created in the beginning, God, not me, not you. So if we get that, then we have a truth to stand on, that we didn't evolve from pond scum and bazillions of years of attempts. We were intimately and intricately created by God through his original design out of the delight of who he was, so that he would say, look at, these are my people. Creation is where the good news starts. Sin is where bad news enters, and that has fractured and decayed every human being on this call, on the earth, period. It has decayed us, separated us from our relationship with God, and we need a rescuer, and no man or woman or government is the savior. So God comes down and says, hey, religion doesn't save you. I save you. And God came, obeyed, lived, died, was buried, rose to be the solution to our sin problem, to our death problem, to our fear problem, to our eternal life problem. And that, if trusted in, becomes the absolute internal transformation that moves us from cowardice to courage, moves us from what? Slaughtered sheep to risen lions, right? I mean, that's amazing. So we just need to get back to that. And I think that's what we're trying to do here at His Glory. We're trying to make it, and our partnership together is trying to do it. Sorry, I yield the floor.
No, listen, this is it. We want to preach it.
This is why the word is so important, and this is why what you are doing in spreading the word, because the word is taken out of context so many times, maliciously taken out of context, like I said, If people knew the truth, only fools refuse to hear the truth. And if the truth is spread, more people will hear the word of God. World. But if that word is not being spread, how can we do that, right? It said, in the, that's how important
words.
And that's His Glory's mission. And what I'm excited to be working with His Glory or helping assist the mission. The mission is they want evangelizing. People come to Tom and our team all the time and they say, how do I help? They know we're fighting for freedoms. They know Tom's a crook. They go, but I'm, you know, I don't have money and I don't know how to help and I work and I've got kids, I, you know, homeschool. Right now you can help evangelize. You can join His Glory's warriors and just help spread the word. Like what Frank talking about, we spread the save. You don't need the money. Yes. We need the prayer. And we need to be proud in our faith and do exactly what the Lord always told us. Be proud of the faith and be proud to spread the truth and
take this important gesture, right? If half of the world are already and everyone turned one person closer to God, we have now made the entire world all that it takes. Mm-hmm. It's all that it takes.
That's so awesome. That's like when you take a step back and you're like, man, that really isn't that difficult. If I just focus on one person at a time within my sphere, like, hey, God, today, who's the one person you're going to put in my path? I mean, that's just really what we talk about with the warrior groups at His Glory. You can go there at hisglory.me, click on warrior groups, and we'll get you connected. But, you know, we've got people up in New York who right? I mean, New York, for the love. I mean, right? You can't even ride a subway train without having one military or two some crazy person trying to shoot up and start a fight. But I digress on that. But what's awesome is we got a warrior group up there. And this sweet lady, she is running. She's running for local office. Awesome. She is at an uphill battle, but she's focused. And she has committed to saying, you know what? I'm going to walk around my neighborhood. Is it risky? Is it dangerous? Could she lose her life? Sure. But she's committed. And she, as she started a prayer walk, transformation started to happen. Another person came in and said, hey, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And she's like, well, I haven't even told you what I'm doing. She's like, and the guy's like, listen, you're walking around our neighborhood and you're praying and things are happening. And I just saw, and I wanted to come out. That wouldn't have happened unless we would have stepped in and said, hey, we're calling warriors out from their houses into the streets to start taking them back for Jesus. And it's happening in some of the hardest Bronxy neighborhoods in New York, all the way over to South Dakota and to the rural parts of our country, to the Chicagoland area and beyond. So like, that's the type of stuff when you talk about like taking our country back one county, one house, one block, one community at a time. That's what we're about. And so that's what you need to do. Hisglory.me, go click on warrior groups. We'll get you plugged in.
Well, and I want to urge everybody, please support us at TomRens.com, support the Tom Renz Show, the America Out Loud Network, support His Glory.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Now when God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
These warrior groups are a big deal to me, right? So for my part, you know, we get a lot of people that ask for my time, a lot of people. And I do it. I work 20 hours a day. The short stack and producer Andrea can attest to my my work schedule. It's brutal because, and they know because they have to work with me. So it's a little ugly.
I also do employee wellness. I have a small company that we can work on that. Okay.
Well, my employees are well. They only have to work like 16 hours a day.
That's all. Okay, I'm sorry.
They only have to do 16. You know, hey, we're a small operation here, and we got a big fight.
That's it.
And I didn't see a whole lot about Christ and his guys standing down. I mean, remember, their job was prayer and faith and this, that, and other. So when Jesus went off and took five, he wasn't taking five. He's praying. He was communing with God and that sort of stuff, and that was his job, right? So my job is to stop bad guys and to wake up good guys. So we do that 24/7. And I got to tell you though, when I talked to Dave about, you know, kind of helping, you know, and seeing what we could do about getting the word out, and because, you know, as a simple, awful lawyer, I don't have the capacity to teach faith. What I have the capacity to do, though, is to make an introduction to Christ. You can be a sinner and still introduce someone to Christ. See, when I talk to someone, and I'm in Vegas, right? So I'm going to tell a Vegas story. So a couple months ago, I'm in Vegas, right? And one of the things that my team knows about me is when I travel, I don't sleep. I don't sleep anyways, but I really can't sleep when I travel. And so I'm known for occasionally doing what I call a walkabout, right? So 2-3 in the morning rolls around and everybody goes to sleep and I can't sleep. So I'll go for a walk and I'll talk to whoever, right? I don't care who I talk, but I always, you know, I'm talking to random people. And it's an amazing thing because you really learn a lot. And at 2 or 3 in the morning, especially in Las Vegas, you know, you can kind of guess who you're going to be talking to. They're probably not the most faith-filled Christians on the planet. Let's leave it at that. But you know what? Sure. Everybody needs saving. So a couple months ago, I'm here in Vegas and I'm doing my thing. And it's, I'd say 3:30 in the morning. And a hooker comes up to me and she's trying to solicit me, right? I said, honey, you ain't got a chance on this. I said, I got a ring. And I said, even if I didn't have a ring, that just ain't happening. I said, but if you wanna, I'd love to chat with you a little bit. What am I talking about? Well, you know, I'm just curious. What gets you into this? And do you know anything about Jesus?
Come on.
I spent 2 hours talking to a hooker about Jesus. I don't know. She knew she wasn't getting paid. I was real clear about that. But she still took the time to do it. So I don't know whether it resonated.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, and here's the point. You mentioned the prayer walk that this lady's doing. Everybody says there's nothing we can do. Oh, there's stuff you can do. There's stuff you can do. Instead of walking by the homeless guy, assuming that he's safe, because, you know, some of them aren't, but assuming that they appear safe, just say, hey, how you doing, brother? Can I do anything for you today? And, you know, maybe mention to them if they're talking, I don't know where you feel about God, but I'm going to pray for you if it's okay. And, you know, just these little things, right? So as a evil, sinful lawyer, I don't figure that I'm a good enough man to teach anyone else how to be a good man. But I do figure I'm a good enough man to introduce people to Christ. And I'm not afraid to do it, right? I don't care if you're offended by the fact that I'm going to pray for you. If you don't want me to, that's fine. I'll probably still do it, but I won't tell you about it if it's going to hurt your feelings. But I don't care whether you pray. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do anything, you know? But I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I think that's something, you know, when people say, well, I don't like the way the world is, but there's nothing I can do. It's profound to me. It's profound to me. You know, I was just talking to a homeless guy the other day, which I just realized the absurdity of that statement. But yeah, so Wednesday, because I'm here in Vegas and I'm doing a super secret project. But as I was doing it, I'm talking to a homeless guy. And and by the way, everybody, you'll hear about what this project is coming up. But yeah, so I'm talking to him, and the guy was, he was lost, right? I've kind of prayed for him a fair bit since then. I don't know his real name because he told me his name 7 times and each time it changed. The one that I stuck with was Cooper because he used that one more than once. Cooper had a total psychotic break at some point. He had no idea what reality was. He told me that in one sentence that he was an astronaut, fireman, soldier, special forces, government worker. And he wasn't rude. He wasn't mean. He wasn't horrible. But you know what Cooper did is I said, Cooper, you know, that's all great. I said, how you doing though? How you doing? He said, you know, I've been out here for a long time. I really want to shower and I just want to get out of the outside. And I said, well, Cooper, why don't you go somewhere and there's some shelters nearby. Why don't you go get a shower? They'll help you. He said, I don't know where they are. So producer Andrea was with me and some other people who were out there at this. And I said, she gives me a phone with a map on it. And so we gave Cooper some directions. He walked off. He said he was going to go to the shelter. Now, Cooper wasn't all there, and he may well have got a block away and forgot what he was doing and just sat down. But, you know, that small thing, right? That small thing. For a minute, Cooper was super happy. For just a minute in Cooper's life, he was super happy. And I know he's super happy because he told me.
That's right.
Because he acknowledged it. I said, Cooper, he said, you mind if I say a prayer for you? He said, no, that'd be great. He acknowledged that I actually gave a shit.
Yeah.
He had one person that didn't step over him and look at him like he was a piece of dirt.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't, when people say to me, there's nothing I can do to make this world better, poor shit.
Yep.
I just, that made Cooper's world a little bit better for a minute. And yep. Those little things, when multiplied by millions of people, millions of times, add up.
Yep.
And yes, we can make this world a little bit better. No, you don't have to be a big shot lawyer, a well-known pastor, a politician. And in fact, most of the time, people like me and like them are going to make things worse. We try. But you know where I did make things better? I made things better for Cooper for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to do.
Well, listen, the Jesus way. Right.
Yeah.
The guy who was born an invalid, 35 years, sitting by the pool, that family left him there. That's where he was at. Like, what's the Jesus way? Well, Jesus had to go this way. Jesus had to go see the guy. He looked at him. He paid attention to him. He didn't just walk over. He didn't just say, hey, here's some pills. Here's a handout. He stepped in and he acknowledged where he was at. He invited him into the conversation. He asked him some questions. He cared for him. And then he just said, hey, do you want to be well? And the guy's like, well, I mean, I've been here for a long time. Nobody really brought me to the pool. Jesus is like, listen, essentially, I am the pool. I'm where you can find hope, where you can find healing, where you can find life and happiness and joy. And I think, listen, the world is filled. Satan's play and the world dynamic and kingdom of the world and our own sinful fleshy bent is filled and riddled with fear, shame, guilt, all of that stuff, longing, desire, failure, insecurity, right? All of those things. And Jesus says, hey, listen, I'm not after big shots. I'm after legit, ordinary people who realize they're their biggest sinner they know. And I've come to be the greatest savior they could ever imagine. And when people realize that, they're changed from the inside out. And therefore, we don't just overlook people. Every person matters to God, and so it matters to me. I don't care what you look like, what color your skin is, or what your background is, what your bank account looks like or not. I don't care how size your house is or how awesome and successful you are. Jesus doesn't care. He's no respecter of persons. Every human being is a sinner because our first parents were morons. And what happened? He came and rescued. You know what I mean? He came and rescued, and then he came to deliver the solution that we can then what? Have in the ordinary, everyday things of life. And then listen, when you're stepping up into our world, as dark as it is today, you can go be the light that you don't hide, but you actually walk out and let Jesus shine it. So that means go feed the people that are right in front of you. Go love and play with your kids on the floor, out in the basketball hoops. Go be present with your neighbors. Have a meal with people that don't look like you, talk like you. And go eat with your neighbors. Go have a barbecue. Go down and get to know the people in your community leadership team. Go pay attention and mentor in schools. Go do 1,000 other things I can recommend on this call. Go be Jesus in the skin. Amen. To your neighbors. And that changes people one house at a time.
So are you a crazy Christian nationalist like I am?
Let's go. I mean, yes, listen, I'm a Christ follower, loved by Christ, and I love my nation. So if that makes me a Christian nationalist, then let's go. I don't care.
Hell yeah. I'm a very proud Christian nationalist. And let me tell you, let's talk about that, because I think we'd be remiss to let this show go through without a little Christian nationalist talk, because,
Let's go.
You know, I mean, that's it. So, hey, TomRens.com, go there, support us. We need your help. Go to hisglory.me and join the Warrior Program, get involved. We need donations. We need support. So do they. Help us. All right. Share this, by the way. Share. Okay. With that in mind, Christian nationalism. I'm a proud Christian nationalist. Let's talk about this. So Christian nationalism. I had the audacity to go try and give a homeless guy some help. I had the audacity to stand up against the unconstitutional lockdowns for COVID. I had the audacity to suggest that maybe we should advocate for laws that would prevent us exposing elementary school kids to porn in their libraries. I had the audacity to push and promote things that would provide real alternatives and help limit or stop abortion. Things like that, right?
Yep.
Which, now, I have not caused any violence. I've tried to stop violence. I have not promoted anything other than fighting legally and ethically. I have not, done anything illicit. And I support my country, a nation founded on Christian principles that were recognized in our founding documents to have come from God, not man.
Yep.
Our rights, our inalienable rights, come from God, not man, according to our Declaration of Independence. So I believe that. I support that. And somehow that makes me dangerous. That makes me bad. It makes me wrong, because I believe in the Constitution of the United States. I believe in the founding of our nation. I believe in the Christian principles that are endowed in our documents. I'm not saying in no way, shape, or form am I advocating for elimination of the First Amendment. Freedom of religion is a necessary thing, because if you can take my religion, if I can take someone else's, they can take mine. So I don't want to change the First Amendment. I'm not asking for us to be a nation where the church is running. But the church is corrupt. I don't trust the church to run it either. But I do believe in the Constitution. I do believe in the United States. And I do believe that we, the people, have a duty or obligation to assist each other in acting in a way that builds community, that shows respect, that shows love, to act as Christians or Judeo-Christians. That doesn't mean you got to go to church, but just recognizing, you know, that principle. I would love to know who wants to oppose the idea of treating others like you want to be treated. What part of that? Because that's the foundation and the hallmark of Christianity. Treat others like you want to be treated, right? I would want someone to defend my kids if they were under attack, morally, ethically, or otherwise. I would want someone to treat me with respect as long as I treated them as such. I would want someone to respect my choices and the way that I live. What part of that do we have a problem with? So I would love to know, and I'm kind of asking. And I love what producer Andrea just said, because Dr. Martin Luther King just happened to be a preacher himself. And he has probably been called a Christian nationalist today. So, you know, my question is, what's wrong with this? And why do we Christians, why are we falling for this? Oh, no, don't call me that. I'm not a Christian. Damn right I'm a Christian nationalist. I'm proud of it. If you don't like it, piss off.
Here's why being a Christian nationalist is dangerous to the globalists and the communists. Here's why.
Especially.
Because they hate Jesus. And they hate nations. They like one global nation. They don't like borders. They don't like you having a sovereign nation. They don't like any of that. They like just one ginormous world where there's a ruling class and you're their subject. And here's what's awesome. Christians believe in one God manifested in three persons, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Christians believe human beings are born because of our first parents, sinners in need of a savior, and government and self and anything we do can't save us, but God himself in Jesus rescues us by faith alone in him. And Christians believe there is a kingdom invisible, but that came present on the earth through Jesus. He says, hey, repent, the kingdom of God is here. Jesus said that in Mark. That's awesome. And then here's what he does. He doesn't just do away with the kingdom of the world. He says, no, you're going to be my ambassadors. That's kingdom, political language. I don't know. He says, you're my ambassadors. You're my representatives. I'm going to fill you with my spirit, my presence. You're going to be filled with power. You're going to be royalty of my kingdom, and you're going to invade the kingdom of the world, and you're going to bring transformation. And guess where you're going to do that? Wherever I place you. And so we happen to be a sovereign, free nation in America, founded by pilgrims who did everything they can to reform overseas and then stepped across on the Mayflower and said, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go find new land. We're going to go to the new world. And we're going to basically, here's what we're going to do. We're going to plant a church. We're going to be a church, the church. And we're going to say, we're going to covenant like we do as a people of God. We're going to covenant together. And we're going to make the Mayflower Compact, by the way. They step out. Boom, there they are. I mean, half the people died on the way over, half within the first year that landed. There's a lot of sacrifice to get to be the Christian group of people that we call the nation we happen to live in, America, that was founded on those values and principles and truths that eventually, listen, they've become such a threat to the globalist, communist, fascists, elitists. Because here's the thing, they're yoked to the demonic, they're yoked to antichrist principles and values and to the kingdom of darkness and of the world, and it's antithetical to the kingdom of God, which invades the world and transforms it from hatred to love, from injustice to legit biblical justice, to lostness to foundness, and they hate it. They hate it, why? Because globalists and Satan hate freedom. And so when you say, I'm a Christian nationalist, guess what? I'm all in on that because God's all in on that.
Well, let me really stress this. Very important. The number one reason these psychopaths hate the idea of Christian nationalists and hate faith is because our founding documents quite clearly say that our inalienable rights came to us from God, not government. The reason that every communist nation in history immediately tries to remove religion is because God is above man. And those principles are, they're cement. You can't change them. See, these people want complete power and control. They want to take the position of God, but they're evil, right? They're sinful, they're rotten. They're trying to take the position of God, and they're trying to make sure that we don't have a God who supersedes their power, right? So what we have going on now is we've got a situation where these globalists, these communists, all these different people, and we see Yuval Noah Harari and Klaus Schwab, for example, at the World Economic Forum, talking about AI religions and AI this and AI that. Well, they don't want anything to actually come from God. They want it to come from something they control or that they have power over, because they want to be the ultimate power. And we just played on this show a few weeks back, I don't know, maybe last week, I don't know when it was, some clips of some buffoon talking about how horrible it is that Christian nationalists believe that their rights, certain rights, are bestowed upon them from God, not government. My government didn't give me squat. God gave me the freedom to do what I do, right? I was born able to choose to believe in God, able to choose to not believe in God, able to choose to follow law or not follow. I follow laws because someone with a big gun says I have to follow them. But guess what? If we the people say, "You, hey, guy, you with the gun, you may have a gun, but there's 300 million of us. You're going to put that away or we're going to have a problem." Guess what? The laws change. That's what our founding fathers knew. That's what the American Revolution was. They said, "Hey, King George, you can shove your gun up your ass. We got more, and we'll fight with them, and we don't care." Because guess what? We may not be perfect, but we know that we got the right to believe in God and to live our lives as free men, right? And then fought a civil war because the concept of freedom is so compelling that we realized the sin that was slavery. And we freed people. Then we proceeded, because freedom is foundational to faith, and it is the most inalienable right that God built in all of us. The most inalienable right. He gave us the freedom to choose to believe in him or not, which is the sole purpose of existence. If you are a Christian and you don't realize that freedom is foundational, then you're not a Christian. So these guys, they have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go. Listen,
this one fires me up, brother. This one fires me up. I'm telling you, God created freedom. He endowed it upon each of us. It is inalienable, and we have the right to make the decisions that we make one way or another. And you know, the only reason that that's a threat to anybody is because there's a group of self-righteous assholes that think they can do it better than God did, and they think they can control it, and they think we should worship them instead of him. And I got news for you, brother. I get to choose who I'm going to worship in my heart, and you ain't going to screw with it.
No, listen, here's the other thing. Has anybody – oh, I'm sorry, Andrea. I'm sorry. I'll let you go. Sorry.
No. The only thing I was going to say quickly, because, again, I homeschool my kids, and we're going through our founding – fathers and history.
Amen.
Yeah, we were learning about this with my kids last week. The way they try to erase the fact that we're Christians, and there's a lot with racism. People don't realize that KKK was actually against all Republicans and the freedom fight of the time. They actually, I mean, when people, they hung about 1,300 white people during that time too, because they were fighting, on the Republican side for the freedom. And amazing black leaders that we had, the first that were elected to positions of Congress, things like that, almost all of them, and again, almost all of our founding fathers were Christians, proud ministers. And so people don't realize that the fight, the way they divide us, part of, like you said, this demonic plan to take God.
Yep.
And faith out of everything, and we've said don't have the courage or the balls to stand up and speak. They are there's a purpose and a plan here. Like faith and freedom, they're the same thing. They're foundational to have freedom.
Yeah,
God's right there,
and there's a reason why, right? It's such a big threat. Like you said, how could anyone treat me or treat others the way you want to be treated? That sets you somewhere, which means there is a spectrum of morality. And if you have morality, there's right and wrong, accountable for your actions. And if the government allows that type of freedom to have that accountability, to know, well, I also need not just about myself. Everything the government does is worshiping self, which is everything against God. At God, like you read the Bible, like, and we are a species that was created to worship.
That's
obviously
right.
To worship. If you're not worshiping Christ, what are you filling that hole with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The government wants you to fill that. So if you are allowing that and you're allowing the propaganda and all of this ideology to be thinking, well, the government is the one who gives me my rights, the one who tell me what's right and wrong and cannot do. And it's so much easier to add perversion into everything instead of, so that's why they have to inject perversion into everything, because it promotes worshiping self. And when you worship self, you couldn't care less about people around you. And then they can control you because now there is no sense, there's no sense of morality.
Yep.
100%. So what kept coming to my mind is, as y'all were talking about this, I think of two things. One, anybody, any nation who seeks to get its citizens to worship itself and not the creator are miserable people.
Yep.
Okay. So there is no joy. Have you ever found a happy globalist? No.
As a staunch Christian nationalist, I want everybody to find Christ.
Amen.
I want everybody to find the joy that comes from knowing him. But I refuse to allow our nation to interfere with religion in any way, shape, or form, whether it be to force Christianity or to stop Christianity. Our nation, under the First Amendment, stays out of it, and they need to. We don't promote, we don't support, we stay out of it. We, the people, teach Christ. Because if our government has taught us one thing, they will screw up anything they touch. I don't want them to get in the business of running the church because they will corrupt it. They will screw it up. I want the right to, you know what? My God's the best one, right, in my mind. So I believe that his message is going to resonate with most people. I think he's going to win. And if he doesn't, well, you know, so be it. But I'm pretty sure he's going to. My faith says he will. And we are a Christian. We are a nation founded on Christian principles and Christian guidance, but we are not asking for the First Amendment to be done away with. Instead, what we're asking is the right to be able to live that. And then we're promoting that my brother and sister Christians do what they can to help others to find the joy in those principles and to find the happiness and the peace and the positivity, because it'll make our nation stronger. We got to jump, RT.
Yeah,
I appreciate this. This was a great, great conversation. But guys, join the His Glory Warriors program. Help us get the word out. Share, right? Go to TomRens.com, support us, join, you know, whatever you can, join our Substack, join us and do whatever you can. We need the funding. We need the support. Go to His Glory Me, support them, but join the Glory Warrior program. Right? Get active, get involved, because the one thing that we can't do is we cannot allow ourselves to stand by idly and feel powerless and feel like we can't do anything. Do something. At least join, at least support, do something.